It's the 120 podcast, Mikey Frenelli alongside Ben Hootie. If you're on YouTube, welcome in. If you're on a podcast source, welcome in. But if you're on YouTube, Ben was just talking about my playoff beard coming in, and we've had some fun with it the last couple weeks. The Cubs, on the other hand, it's been a rough go for the last week or so, I would say. And they got a little hot here towards the end of Kansas City. I was there for the Saturday night game in Kansas City where Patrick Wisdom had the grand slam, where Rick Sutcliffe said everything was turning around. But unfortunately, after a 7-1 loss yesterday, doesn't seem like the Cubs are really doing a fire sale. Like we didn't expect that to be the case, but I don't know. Things don't look great. We're going to talk all Cubs. We're going to talk all MLB. We're going to talk trade deadline here on this edition of 120.
Yeah, about 45 minutes to go left in the trade deadline. So we kind of just, not only are we in a little bit of a time crunch, but we kind of agreed it doesn't seem like much is going on. There's really no, like, I feel like sometimes where there's fuel, there's fire, and that does not feel like that at all right now. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe one more deal goes off before the buzzer, just kind of like a maybe a reliever, or I could see Mike Talkman getting traded because there's really no spot for him anymore, and I would like to see him probably go to a contending team. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It doesn't seem like this fire sale is really happening, and they're just gonna kind of ride this season out with what they got.
So I don't want to say Isaac. It's actually Izak, right?
Isaac.
Izak Paredes.
Yeah, it's a
Okay.
weird pronunciation.
Izak. I know of the player, obviously, but just one of those guys where you never say his name. Izak
Correctly.
Paredes,
Yes.
the Cubs' new third baseman, officially activated. Now, with this, I think they squeaked around moving down or trading any combo of Mastroboni, Wisdom, or Bodie now because they traded MLJ. And they haven't activated Cowles or Neely. So I think they're fine for the roster to have Isaac Paredes play today for the
Yeah.
Cubs. I think that's, am I doing that math correctly?
Yeah, he might have actually been activated technically yesterday. They might have been playing two men down yesterday.
Yeah. Cause it says on the website he just got activated, but I think he got in last night or something. Like that was what I saw on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole situation's weird. I was just listening to the radio and they were like, some guy was yelling about how he didn't show up right away. I'm like, dude, they're baseball players. His entire life just changed. Like,
Yeah.
stop trying to make them seem like robots. It's fine that he didn't show up for a team that's really not in it
No.
anymore.
We're going to do comprehensive trade deadline coverage. Our goal here is to entertain and educate everybody on the Cubs trade deadline so far at 4:30 before the deadline. But first, I wanted to talk about that, Ben. There's some human aspect to it, and I think more so than any sport. We saw it with Christopher Morel. We're seeing it with Paredes and a bunch of lots of players around baseball, the White Sox right now. There is a huge human aspect to the baseball trade deadline. I mean, you're seeing Chris Morel go 0 for 1 to start the game against the Royals on Sunday, business as usual, and then hugging all of his teammates and coaches because he's no longer on the team midway through a game. Like he now, but you know, for lack of a better term, obviously he's a human being, but he now belongs to the Rays. So the Rays don't want him taking any more chances at the field for the Cubs. So it's a weird, weird dynamic. You don't see it in any other sport where a player is mid-game, all of a sudden switches from robot to human, and you see that human aspect.
And that's kind of what makes this baseball trade deadline better than other sports, I'd say, because it's so hectic and there's so many moving pieces. You know, in the NBA, I think the trade deadline used to be pretty crazy, but it's really not like that anymore. And once again, you don't really see that aspect where it's like a deal can break at any moment, where it could be during a game and it's time to, pack your bags and head to Tampa Bay, or pass around a beer in the bullpen like they were doing with Michael Kopech yesterday,
That
which was
was a
awesome,
great,
by the way.
great clip.
Awesome. And even like the Randy Rosarena thing, when he got traded, he stayed one more day in Tampa Bay and watched the games with the fans in the stands. I mean, that's a guy that went to the World Series with them, and
Right.
he's kind of been just a really good player for them over the past couple of years. So yeah, there is a human aspect, and it sucks to see sometimes, especially for these guys like Morel and Kopech and Rosarena, who spent entire really lifetime with their organizations, to see them go. Yeah, it's cool to see, but it's also sad as well.
And there's some, it makes for some really cool, fun moments, like when they get to the new team, like a Rosarena learning the Mariners win dance, repeat dance thing in the outfield, and then
Yeah.
you have Morel learning how to catch fly balls
That
and
video
the
is
drop.
awesome.
That was awesome. And that, shoot, there's one I just lost on top of my head that was I think it was the White Sox Kopech thing, but I think there was something else. Oh, it was Jazz Chisholm showing up in Fenway right in time for the game on Sunday as a Yankee, just coming out of the dugout like 20 minutes before the game with his hat backwards, clean shaven,
And did
dabbing
you
up
see
Aaron Boone like he's Willie Mays Hayes. It was awesome.
Mark Leiter Jr. is already on his way to, I just saw a tweet. Mark Leiter Jr. is already on his way to Philadelphia. They said they expect him to be out of the bullpen tonight
That's
for the
awesome.
Yankees, which
You
is,
just
I mean, that's
like,
pretty cool.
you just get all your new merch, and it like that's the fun side of it. Like, you see a player in a totally different jersey, like right away, like before they can even think of moving their stuff. Like, what do you think that communication's like for their family? Like, I was thinking about that with like Paul DeJong tonight, because Paul DeJong got traded from the White Sox to the Royals. If you haven't seen out there listening, among this fire sale for the White Sox, they're playing the Royals, so he gets to stay in Chicago for the next 2 days and play as a Royal, which is a different thing in and of itself.
That's probably the best thing that could happen to you, because you
Yeah.
actually have like time to like, okay, time to pack up my stuff. What
Right.
apartment am I going to be staying in for the next 4 months? And
Right.
then it's a very interesting dynamic, especially for baseball, because it's a 162 game season. You have to pack your bags and leave. You don't know if you're going to be there for another year, if you're an impending free agent. Like it's a really chaotic situation, but it makes the MLB trade deadline fun, especially when your team is acquiring players.
When we had Alex Cohen on a couple weeks ago, he talked a little bit about something similar, Ben, with how AAA guys, kind of early on in their career get used to the living out of a suitcase dynamic. And I think a lot of these guys obviously started in whether it was college ball or, AAA ball, anything along those lines, they started with that dynamic. So for a few of them, like they've been in the major leagues for a number of years, they're used to having that security, but it's not exactly new to them as a professional baseball player to be able to kind of just pick up. And that's something you see for even professionals around this deadline. That's pretty cool about the light show, by the way. I'm excited to see him pitch tonight in New York.
I think we could probably move towards the actual trades the Cubs have made,
Yeah.
but I let's get back to later. I think we should talk about the big one first.
Yeah. So the Cubs traded right-hander Mark Leiter Jr., who's been solid out of the bullpen this season for the Cubs, to a World Series contender in the New York Yankees in favor of receiving shortstop Benjamin Cowles and another right-hander in the 6'8 mountain of a man, Jack Neely, who I
Six
sent
eight 245. You should be playing offensive line for the Bears.
I sent Ben a tweet earlier as soon as Light Show got traded, and it was just an awesome pitch by Neely. He's gonna make Luke Little look small. It's gonna be cool. So that's a good signing for the Cubs. Should see him this year. He's already major league ready and has played for the Yanks, I believe.
I don't think he's played for the Yankees, but he's 24 and already in
Okay.
AAA.
I
I think
saw
the
he's,
other
yeah, I'm ex extremely major league ready, is how people were describing him. So I wasn't sure if he got his cup of tea yet or not. But anyway.
How do you pronounce the other guy's name again? The third baseman they got,
I believe
Knowles.
it's Benjamin. It's spelled Cowles. Cowles?
Cowles, yeah.
Cowles? Coles? I don't know.
He's 24 and he's actually having a really good year in AAA for the Yankees. I looked right into his numbers right away. He's like 291, 9 homers, like 57 RBIs. So, maybe he's another guy that down the line here we could see maybe make an impact with a major league club, because I don't know. It's weird. This whole situation, and I think we get to it. Obviously, we're gonna start seeing Paredes, Paredes, Paredes. That's how
I
you
think you were
pronounce it,
closer with the
right?
first one. Yeah. Okay, so
Paredes.
I had it looked up before this episode, and I'm not embarrassed about this. Like, I'm not embarrassed about not knowing that
Everyone
story.
gets it
I was like,
wrong. Everyone
yeah,
across Major League Baseball gets it
it's
wrong.
not just Paredes either. Like, baseball, there's so many players. There's been over a million players in professional baseball all time. Like, it is hard, especially to pronounce some of these names. So what it says on the Rays official pronunciation guide on the MLB website is Isaac, excuse me, Paredes. So Isaac Paredes, apparently.
I just want to talk about the move. I know you were pretty fed up with the Christopher Morel stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was fed up with the people acting like Christopher Morell was, yeah,
He
big loss.
it stinks to see him go, just because of the passion and how much fun he
Yeah.
was able like he brought to the Cubs. But in all reality, it just wasn't working out. And I think he could blossom with the Rays, especially a team that's kind of did their own little fire sale. Like, you never know. And I wish it would have worked out here in Chicago. Like, we know the potential with that bat. That's a 40 home run bat every year, potentially. It's just he's been in the majors for 2.5 seasons. He never found a really good home. at a position. The last month he's been playing more DH really than he has been playing third. They've been opting to Mastroboni instead playing third, and it just the experiment wasn't working out, and it was getting kind of dull at this point. But you're trading for a guy that is under team control till 2028 and is the same age as Christopher Morel and is already feels like a way more complete major league player. I mean, he made the All-Star team this year. He's a very heavy pull hitter, which will be interesting to see how that plays at Wrigley Field. But I think the trade just it makes all the sense in the world. I don't think the other two pieces that they gave up and Biggie and Ty Johnson are really going to come back and bite them. In all reality, it was the Rays potentially seeing what they liked in Christopher Morel, and you know how the Rays do. They can fix anybody. And the Cubs, who are trying to, open up their window into next year, getting a third baseman that has played a solid third base, has been a really solid hitter across his major league career, and they're going to get this guy till 2028. So he's their third baseman going forward. I really like the trade. I was kind of shocked when I saw it at first because I just didn't think the Cubs were going to make any like big move like that. But when I sat back, looked at it, looked at the control, it made all the sense in the world.
Yeah, there was an exact statement by Jed Hoyer about a week ago that was something along the lines of, to paraphrase, like, we're going to be considering making moves that are more forward facing, like 2025 for the 2025 season. And I think this was a great kind of first move in that regard. Maybe not first move, but main move in that regard. You have a new a 1-for-1 trade for Christopher Morel with a player that's batting 50 points higher this season, only two less home runs, but it has that insane power, and then has a positive WAR for his team. It just was not going well for Morel at the plate this season, Ben. And I'll save my like Morel rant for after your next point, because I know you had something to add.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about it too that I really like that Jed Hoyer's doing is he's almost kind of doing off-season work early, if that
Right.
makes sense. Like this, as much as this was a trade, it almost felt like a free agent acquisition just because of the how
Exactly.
many years of control there is left.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this is a guy that's undeniably has value. If it's not the proof in the stats, it's that, the Dodgers and Yankees, who are both prospective favorites on either side of the ball this season, were both in a bidding war apparently for this
With
player.
the
And
Cubs.
the Cubs found a way to sneak in. It honestly reminded me of when the Cubs signed Craig Counsell and everyone was like, oh, the Mets and all this and that. Like, there was a few specific teams that, like, oh, he's going to one of these. And then all of a sudden, the Cubs just turn around and they just show up. The Cubs love just sneaking in.
One of my favorite videos, and I don't think you watch The Boys,
No,
but
I know
in
what you're
the
gonna say. I've seen the clip though. I knew what you're gonna
It's
say.
so it's the Deep who is just like the meme character of the boys. He got kicked out of the Seven, which is like the Avengers there of that, and they end up bringing him back. But it's like the funny meme where he like turns around and it was
Yep.
Dodgers and Yankees in a bidding war. The Cubs that were thought to be selling, jumping in and trading for Isaac Paredes. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's yeah. He so okay. Here's my morale point, and that's a good meme. Sorry, I was thinking about that one because that's a good meme. My morale point, and I've calmed down a little bit since then, but I think people were so. There's a difference in saying thank you, Chris, because he seems like an amazing dude. He's an awesome
Yeah.
dude. Like, he seems like the nicest guy ever. I will always smile thinking of like his early at bats when he would say hi to every single being on the field and almost ruin his entire pitch clock because he just had to say hi to everybody. And I'm hope he still does it in Tampa. Like, he's the best, but he's the best as a person. But people were genuinely pissed, like trying to like show advanced metrics, like projected advanced metrics for next season. If Morel just brings this, and that down a point, he could be X, Y, and Z. It's just baseball. You have to, I mean, not to just completely bury Billy Bean here, but there is a number of metrics that prove a lot of great things. More over my head. But there is also some things where, like, you have to take a chance on the fact that this guy significantly shows better stats than Morel at a similar level at the same position and with, what is it, 3 more years of club control for this
Yeah.
team. 4 more years of club control for this team. And you get essentially, it's like if you between games in the show upgraded your player a couple degrees. Like,
Oh, 100%.
it's just a new Morel. And that's not an insult to Morel, but we can't act like the Cubs are somehow making this Schwarber-esque mistake in letting go of Morel, because sure, he might be that way, but I don't think he's ever gonna be this behemoth hitter the Cubs have so, Lou Brock, how dare the Cubs trade a future Hall of Famer? No, I don't think that's going to be the case for Morel. And if it is, so be it. But I think the Cubs did the right thing here and took the proper chance.
And it makes sense. It's a one for one, and exactly what you said, I think, was perfect. It's you're at this point in the Cubs, whatever they're trying to do for the next couple of years, it makes more sense to trade for a guy that's at be a lot better than Morel is, at the
An all
same
star.
position, an all-star, and the same age.
Right.
That's what I keep like circling over. I'm like, these two dudes are the same age, and Paredes is already an all-star, and Morel feels like we're still just waiting on him to turn into an all-star, when it just doesn't feel like that's really going to be the case.
I feel like they tried to justify Morel this season on a last ditch second effort to see if he could be serviceable at third base. And he was fine, but he really had some bad errors over time. And I think that was kind of the last ditch Hail Mary for Morel. Like, we'll put up with his 40 home run, but 215 batting average season as long as he can play third base every day. And it just, the ends didn't match. It just didn't work out. So I hope the best for him in Tampa. Smaller stadium, indoor stadium, crazy pop. He should be good to go. And yeah, so the official definition of that trade, by the way, we mentioned pretty much every name involved except Ty Johnson, but it was Morel to the Rays, Johnson and Biggie for Paredes. So it was a 3-for-1. You get an all-star back, you get rid of two prospect relievers and a young third baseman replacement for Paredes and Morel, who has potential but not the numbers yet.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's gonna be interesting, and I think it's a good time to pivot to what we think going forward. Like, what do you think going forward the rest of the season's gonna look like, if assuming no crazy trade happens in the next 30 minutes?
So I also wanted to quick note, in case people haven't seen, also a couple days ago, right-hander from the Blue Jays, Nate
Oh yeah,
Pearson.
I like that deal.
Yeah, for Josh Rivera and Yohendrick Panego. And actually, Pearson got tossed last night in a blowout loss because he seemingly threw at someone's head. It wasn't on purpose. I actually like this.
Yes.
I like to see Council get all fired up. Like, he hasn't done that all year. That's fun. So yeah, that's not an omen of anything. It's a blowout loss, getting your new pitcher into a moment. So I like that. I like that trade, though.
You think some dude that's just walking into town for the first time is trying to hit one of the Reds players intentionally? Yeah,
No.
you shouldn't go up and in, but still, like
Yeah,
that was kind of
7-1 loss.
bullshit.
Yeah.
But I do want to go over that trade. I do like that trade. I think Nate Pearson has a lot of potential that is yet to be unlocked. And I mean, we've seen it. He was a top 25, 30 prospect at one point, if I'm not
Yeah.
mistaken, and just never really found it with Toronto. We've seen some good stuff with what Tommy Hottovy's been able to do with this pitching staff. So,
Sorry, I had a minor, not heart attack, but a funny moment for a second. The MLB app knows what they're doing. Brian De La Cruz is pretty solid too, but the Pirates traded for Brian De La Cruz from Miami, and the alert just said Pirates get De La Cruz. And I thought the Reds and Pirates were doing business for no reason. I'm like, why? Why? But then, no, I get it.
That would be such a sick infield with O'Neill
Oh my God,
Cruz and
yeah.
De La Cruz.
I thought it went Ellie De La strikeout for a second, and I was like, no way, that'd be crazy. Just going right from the Reds to the Pirates. They know exactly what they're doing with that alert. I saw De La Cruz popped up, and I'm like, really? I was just hoping during this record we get some kind of blockbuster, because I feel like, all things considered, maybe it's an indicator of a weird free agent class this summer, but like, or this winter, excuse me, but it hasn't really been a super hot deadline as we're getting into the last half an hour.
No, and I think it's really because everyone was waiting on Crochet to fall, and Crochet kind of kind of shot himself in the foot with his extension talks. Did you see, like, he apparently his agency came out and said he only will go to a team if, or like when he gets traded, he wants an extension immediately there. So the White Sox missed out on probably a generational haul with not being able to trade Crochet, but they'll probably kick it around in the sand back in the off season again. But I think the White Sox are done. I assume the Cubs are done unless something comes through, but yeah.
Yeah, Nico has his normal call in at 6:70 at about, I think, like 2:30 or 3 o'clock on Tuesdays, and he was late apparently today.
This is
So
good.
that caused some panic, which I wish I was listening. I gotta go back and listen next. I'm sure it caused some really fun panic radio, but apparently he came on a couple minutes late, I don't know why, but he came in a couple minutes late and said that for all extents and purposes, he is a Cub for now, and he feels good about being here. So that really doesn't prove jack shit until we get to the end of the hour. But yeah, I bet that was kind of funny. Imagine if you just skipped it outright, and then that would they'd be in mass panic mode over there right
It'd
now.
be crazy.
Oh my God, that I don't. That he, what if he was just playing a joke? Like, what if he was just trying to like,
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I don't think that's who he is, but it would be kind of funny. Yeah, I think the Cubs are particularly done now. I think I like the lighter deal. I like what they did for Paredes. I think that does put them in good shape to still compete next year. They're building the bullpen back up with the guys you got for lighter, with Nate Pearson, with multiple moves that could be helpful. And yes, if they find a way to get hot this season, they still could be competitive, although it's getting, more and more shut.
Me and my dad were talking yesterday, and he said that, and I honestly do agree with this, even though we keep up with this team every day and follow them as much as we can. He said it feels like baseball in Chicago has been over ever since the Cubs free fall. Like, it
Yeah.
just really does feel like no one is interested, no one's invested. Like, it's just been a weird summer because the White Sox are on record pace to be the worst team of all time, and the Cubs just went on an absolute free fall that just took them out of contention. So it's just been a weird summer.
Let's go to that for a second with the White Sox. You know me in this podcast, if you're a regular listener. I love taking the last couple minutes to talk about the White Sox, and I am not trying to be a jerk. Excuse me. I mean, trust me, I've had that in the last couple of years. Like in 2021 for the Cubs, I remember the lineup the day that Chris Bryant got traded at the deadline. Like, it does happen. But like, who the fuck is playing for the White Sox tonight? Like, who is filling out that lineup until they wait for these guys they traded DeJong and others for to show up? Like, who's
It's
filling it out?
I think they have some guys coming. That's what they were saying on the radio, because I was listening to the radio for a good long while today. Like Lenny and Sosa and stuff like that's already in
Okay.
town, like ready to get called up. But
Yeah.
yeah, really weird. That trade that they made, that three-team trade,
Let's
was
go to that.
complete chaos for an hour. And I think they got absolutely robbed. The fact that St. Louis only had to give up Tommy Edman in that deal, who really hasn't even played that much this year, is absurd. I cannot. The Cardinals, I'll give them their flowers. They fucking robbed the Dodgers and White Sox. I think the Dodgers got a horrible, like, Kopech, they could probably do something with him, but I think the Dodgers and White Sox both got absolutely robbed in that deal. I can't believe the White Sox traded three of their most valuable pieces all in one deal and only got three players back.
Okay. Okay, before we like actually analyze it, I'm just trying to find a way to generalize this. There's a statement that like generalizes all of it. Follow this if you haven't heard the full thing. Dodgers trade third baseman Miguel Vargas, shortstop Alexander Albertis, shortstop Jeurel Perez, and a player to be named later or cash considerations of the White Sox for Michael Kopech and Fede. No, for just Michael Kopech, right?
No, this was a three-team. So
Yeah,
Kopech,
yeah. So
those three
Kopech was the
players you
Dodgers.
named, all came from the Dodgers,
And
right?
then the Dodgers got Kopech back.
The Dodgers got Kopech, and they got Tommy Edman,
Yes, and they got Tommy Edman from the Cardinals.
and then Eric Fetty and
Yes.
Tommy Pham went to St. Louis.
Went to St. Louis. So then the White Sox traded Fede and Pham and cash considerations to the Cardinals. The Cardinals traded Edman and Gonzalez to the Dodgers. So yeah, so the White Sox, this is such a funny thing because this is a perfect example of three teams that, one, the Cubs fans are not fond of any of the three, and two, they're like three teams that show a great example. So me, myself, and I, like the Dodgers are all out for the World Series, spent billions in the offseason. The Cardinals are like wild card flirting, and the White Sox are the worst team in history. And so the White Sox just want to get a haul for prospects. The Cardinals want to just find a way to get incrementally better, and the Dodgers are going all out to try and make themselves unstoppable. And who ends up being the one who's the loser here? The White Sox. The Cardinals get away with the biggest robbery because the Cardinals, to their own credit, did a great job of sitting in a sandwich between a desperate team on one end and a desperate team on the other, desperate for great players and desperate just to get some kind of value out of a terrible season.
And meanwhile, they got two players from the White Sox and didn't have to give up a single player to the White Sox.
I that's crazy. I baseball's crazy how they can do that. I mean, there was just something like that this offseason in basketball too, with like a six team trade or whatever. But
Yeah.
especially the deadline for baseball, shit like this happens and it gets really weird.
Yeah.
That's an
It's
odd trade.
so odd. And it took so long for everything to come out. Like, because the initial reported deal was like Fetty, Tommy Edman, and White, and the White Sox getting three prospects. And we were like, okay. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, Michael Kopech's going. All right. Are the White Sox going to get a prospect from the Cardinals? No, that's the final trade. Oh, all right. That's very weird. I know White Sox. My White Sox friends are not happy about that trade. Miguel Vargas is a good piece. I think that was a nice piece the White Sox got from the Dodgers, but just not for trading three of your most valuable pieces at this deadline all in one trade. And meanwhile, you can't really get anything for Kopech and, or excuse me, not Kopech, Crochet and Robert right now because they're like in a weird spot where they want to keep them because they're so young and talented, but they also are so bad that they need to start building towards the future. It's weird stuff going on the South Side, man. Weird stuff.
So to answer my earlier question, they have been calling up a lot of friends from Charlotte yesterday so they could have them in time for the game today. So it's a center fielder, Dominic Fletcher, left-hander, Sammy Peralta. And this one made me laugh a little bit while you were talking there. Right-hander, Touki Toussaint, the Braves legend from over the
Oh,
years,
he's
is.
always with, he's been hanging around the White Sox for a good long while now.
Yeah, he's been with the White Sox, it looks like all of last year and then this year. He was with the White Sox in the major league team last year. No, excuse me. He got traded to the White Sox halfway through last year and was playing, and then he hasn't been up at all in 2024. But he is now back on the Major League White Sox to cement his name in the worst team ever. Which, to end, did you hear that Pedro Grifol? I think I sent you this tweet right before we went on. He apparently tried to motivate his team by saying they'd be remembered forever if they become the worst team in MLB history. Veterans weren't pleased. That is yeah, that's a good one. I'm sure the veterans who I, namely Paul DeYoung, probably are no longer going to be there anyway. So that's
Yeah.
interesting. That's a good one.
Wow. Yeah, that's a mess over there. But
It truly is. It makes us feel a little bit better about ourselves. I have a little bit of optimism about the Cubs, Ben.
you got way too much. You're way too optimistic.
Not the up.
And
No, yes, I
I
am.
appreciate that. I do appreciate that.
We
I've
balance
always
each other out.
appreciated it. I've always we do very well because I always am shooting myself in the foot with how upset I am over this team. And Mikey is always saying, hey, there's still a chance. And you never know. If they're keeping the guys together, this was the same group of guys that went on a run last year. I will say one last thing before we wrap up here. I am very shocked we haven't seen like Jameson Taillon in any trade rumors. I thought he was like a lock to be traded.
Me too. I don't know what I want to add this about what you're saying. I agree that there's a chance that they could always get hot this year, just like any other year. I'm saying I'm cautiously optimistic that they're doing the right things to still be competitive next year.
Oh,
They're not
100%.
completely blowing it up. That's what my optimism
100%.
takes from it.
Okay,
So like,
I do I agree with you. I am cautiously optimistic as well about next year. And why shouldn't you be? You
Yeah,
have a
no.
top you have a top two farm system in baseball, which I know we've been talking about and we've been just saying that forever. And it does feel like, hey, just kind of let the kids play. But you know, this has just been such a weird year where everyone in that lineup is just having such a bad season that they cannot do it again. Like, you know what I'm saying? It
Yeah.
cannot, this cannot happen again where everyone in that lineup just has a career worst season.
Yeah. And so to tie on to your point, he started last night, got kind of lit up. Do you think there was, how do I phrase this correctly? Were they still hoping for his trade value, like
No.
starting him tonight or last night, excuse me, or was it kind of like that ship sailed as soon as he started?
No. I think as soon as it started, I think as soon as he started, that was like, okay, looks like he's sticking around.
Yeah. I agree. And it seems like, especially after last night, he's sticking around. I think that would have been a deal made yesterday. If anything, he would have gotten scratched before the game and they would have traded him. Ben, real quick, we're wrapping up right now at exactly 4:43 Central. This will get posted a day after the deadline. So we'll see if we get anything fun around baseball. Anybody else that will get traded the next 17 minutes, even if it goes through after five.
I mean, like, probably we've seen a couple deals come through. Oh, wow. How about that?
Almost like I
Baltimore
knew.
Orioles are acquiring Eloy Jimenez.
Wow.
Yeah.
The
So
Eloy era is over in Chicago.
there it is. Wow.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
Damn. Well, they answered the question for me. Who they traded
Yeah.
back?
It does it. Jeff Passan just announced broke it now. So very
Wow.
interesting. Very interesting.
Go win it all, Eloy. I've always liked him. He's been obviously struggled with some injuries early on in his career, but I hope the best for him.
Going at all, Baltimore.
Yeah. Your boys in Baltimore.
Yeah.
They're gonna trade you. They're gonna think you're one of the players and just trade you. It's not a real episode unless we reference Ben's striking good looks, or at least his resemblance to the entire Orioles roster with your hats. All right. Yeah, I don't know. I was gonna say I don't really know what else could happen. I wouldn't be shocked if something happens right here at the buzzer with Horner, but then again, doesn't seem like it's gonna happen anymore.
No,
Watch.
and if it does, I think we'll probably have like a double header episode if
Yeah, we'll
something
have to
crazy
hop back on.
happens.
Yeah. All
Yeah.
right. Well, Ben, I appreciate the time. As always, this one will come out on Wednesday. And thank you for listening to 120.